Welcome to another episode of Tech Bytes, brought to you by The Gateway. My name is Russ, and I am honored to be sharing this space with my co-hosts Amin and Biagio. Welcome!
Thank you, Russ. We're happy to be here.
Thank you, Russ. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, this is always a fun thing. So I was scrolling through the wonderful world of the internet, and I think we always end up coming across an article regarding either Elon Musk, his inventions, his ideas, his controversy, his company Tesla, his future companies, his plans for the universe that might or might not be. And I always just kind of wonder how much of this is actually real, or how much of it is kind of snake oil and mirrors? How much can we believe in this one person? How much should we? I have all of those questions, and I feel like you two might be some people that have some good input on that.
I'll go first. I have a lot of strong opinions about this man, but I think I want to recognize and talk about the technologies he has pioneered, not necessarily excelled, but pioneered. But it's not a secret for anyone that this man saw the need for electric cars and electric transportation. But that's not just that. The vision included a high-tech vehicle. And he rightfully made the decision that this has to be next generation, not just in drive technology, but also it needs to have fully integrated computer technologies that are relevant to transportation. And I think that was the right call, and it had consequences beyond electric cars. And we have seen technologies spill over into conventional cars and other places. So I would like to talk about those, then we will talk about their role, and we will talk about what advancements in AI technology enabled some of these technology to be built into both electric and conventional cars. And then we could talk about what we can expect, where this technology to go, when will it mature, if it ever will.
All right, Amit, so let's go with that. I think that's a good plan for this episode. When you're looking back and thinking about what Tesla is and has become, in your mind, in your perspective, what are the things that have benefited the world? What are the good things, the things that you can kind of give a gold medal or a gold star to?
Well, I will give a gold medal for safety technologies. Even though Tesla now doesn't have the top safety record of all of them, because they are still kind of experimental. They have stayed at the edge of this technology. But following Tesla's lead, there are driving safety systems that other startups developed, and legacy automakers bought those startups. That's usually how it works. Legacy automakers have not developed the technology in a long time. They just buy startups. And that is, for example, the simplest one I can tell you is the adaptive cruise control. It's a radar and camera-based system. And when we say camera-based system, it's a neural network that does object recognition, and the radar senses distance from the car in the front. And those are both sensor feeds that go into a giant neural network. That neural network has been aced now. Now we have perfect adaptive cruise control. Adaptive cruise control is, people don't think of it as a safety feature, but it is. It is a convenience feature, but once you have that, it enables whole lots of other safety features. Because just imagine now, given this neural network that one camera and one neural network, and a chip that can execute that neural network, that are built in the car, they are sold as a package. The car knows what's in front of it. how fast it goes, how fast the thing in front of it, the car in front of it goes, and how far it is, right? Then you can, it's just software to control what the car does in any situation beyond that point. So emergency braking, obstacle aware acceleration, things, the features like this. Now, all of them, if you have that, if a car comes with adaptive cruise control, all of them automatically exist now. And bringing camera and radar into cars, I believe, was what was came out of self-driving ambitions, mostly pioneered by Tesla.
Russ, if
Yeah,
I can jump in my
please.
mind, the most like the gold medal goes, I mean, in my opinion, again, there might be other manufacturers that did that, but Tesla was the first computer on wheels.
Yes.
And to me, that was always, I didn't own a Tesla, like, I mean, so you can definitely talk more than me about this, but to me, that was the most fascinating things among all was the fact that they were pretty much like building computer on wheels. And the aspect that impressed me the most was the fact that in general, when you buy a car, over time it gets worse, right? You start having mechanical issues, like start having other deteriorating, whatever it is, right? From use. But Tesla, because of those over-the-air updates, it was able to getting better. Like the range was getting better with a software update, and from the night before to the night after, you get 20 extra miles of range. To me, that was like the most interesting and fascinating, and I think they were the first to do it.
Yes,
Now many other doing it, but getting better over time and adding functionalities like some of those that Amin is talking about. Or even being able to, park the car and the car come to you. I forgot what is the name of their features, but
someone.
someone. Yeah, it's just impressive, and I think it's the most imp the gold medal goes to that, in my opinion, when it comes to Tesla.
I completely agree. The computer on wheels, I mean, I don't want to say it was Elon Musk's idea. It probably was. And if it, even if it wasn't, it's bad luck for the person who, whose idea it was. But whoever's idea that was, computer on wheel, basically saying that now we have this programmable machine, why not make our cars? And now everything else could be like part of the Internet of Things movement. Everything else could be programmable. But also, Tesla showed us the huge benefits of having a programmable vehicle. And I owned one for 3.5 years. And within those 3.5 years, I had features in the end of my ownership that I didn't have when I bought the car, which is mind-blowing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly my point, right? That's the major thing,
Yeah.
in my opinion, is the ability to get better over time while, regular cars usually get worse over time.
So then
Yeah.
let me interject here,
Still don't have.
gentlemen, as we're talking about this, I think the perspective of Tesla as a company, whether we talk about, stock valuation or just overall marketing ideas, what the average person thinks of Tesla, I think it's safe to say that it doesn't hold the same standard that it did 10 years ago for sure, but even 5 years ago. So we're talking about this ability for Tesla to improve its product over time, but I don't see as many people treating it with such high regard. There's articles about some of the safety issues coming out of it. It seems like the idea isn't being executed as well as it was. Again, just my perspective, but do you see that as well? And is that something that's going to continue, or do you think it can be corrected, or do you think it's actually just fine and maybe some of the other competitors are catching up, so they're what Tesla used to do isn't as special as maybe what it was 5, 10 years ago.
Well, right
I
now,
mean,
yes.
You want me to jump real quick? I think I want to just clarify a couple of things, and then you can go and I'm sure you can give more perspective to this. But I think the misconception here is, I mean, and also we have to think about where Tesla is coming from, right? It's not an established car manufacturer. In fact, to me, the quality of the cars, I've talked with many people, is not there compared to the other car manufacturer. There was like some doors issue, they were not closing properly, stuff like that. They will never be delivered by other car manufacturer, but they started it, and to their credits, they conquered market pretty fast and established themselves also from safety reason. Amin was saying, among the best. Now again, I don't compare them to the most reliable cars when it comes to manufacturing the cars itself. I think what we were talking about was more about the tech side of things. And that's I think the majority of the people that bought the car at the beginning while waiting a year to be delivered and stuff like that, that's was their vision. Going electric and having something that is really a computer on wheels. I think that, I mean, especially the people I talk about from the beginning, I remember my PhD advisor was waiting for that car and he was dreaming, and it was, just so cool to experience that with him. We were talking about almost every day during coffee. And when he received it, again, you can notice, I mean, you notice that it's not the best made car. But the promise that he has, like it was still there. Again, not perfect, but compared to what was there at the time, is it was impressive. And also when we look at those articles, they say, and again, this is my personal opinion. Of course, there are cases where the system wasn't working, the recognition system wasn't working, so it was accelerating when it should have decelerate or is braking without reason and stuff like that. I mean, we are, as human being, I think one of the most cases of fatalities is car accidents, right? So even humans are not perfect. We distract ourselves. So I understand that we want to help Tesla to perfection, but reality is, it's not going to be perfect all the time, right? So how much do we trust Tesla compared to somebody that is texting and driving? I trust more Tesla. How much are we trusting Tesla more than, and I'm saying Tesla, but many other car manufacturers jump into that, so they have also other technologies. How much do we trust Tesla more than a drunk or a person that has been drinking? I trust Tesla more, right? So I think we have this misconception that if there is no perfection, Tesla is a problem, or any other car is a problem. But we need to be realistic. What is the alternative? The alternative is potentially somebody that is texting and driving. The alternative is potentially somebody that is drinking. And again, the data are supporting the idea that probably computers and this technology are already better than human beings. So I just want to put this perspective out there. I'm not saying I want automating everything. I don't want to drive anymore and so on and so forth. I actually enjoy driving and I enjoy being in control. I'm just trying to, I think people need to have different, they need to be fair in their expectations. Yes, it's not perfect. Yes, there are cases, but it is improved over time, I believe. And compared to what it was available in the market, it was nothing like that, right? And they started from zero. It's not like selling their software to Toyota or established brand, right? To me, it's like a computer company more than a car manufacturer.
Oh,
And
definitely.
now it's just among them, right? It's just among them in terms of sales and stuff like that. So it's pretty impressive. But I mean, go ahead. Sorry, I wanted to jump on that just to clarify.
Thank you. To Russ's question, they have been pioneers and not pioneers. They have been at the top of technology and not top of it on and off. Like, because their progress, because of the nature of the technology they are using, is not linear, if it makes sense. So if you're familiar with the training of neural networks, is so It's kind of like walking in the dark and reaching with your hands, hoping to find something. That's the process of training neural networks. And at any moment, they never stop training, right? And they never stop increasing their data set and adding new observations. But at any moment, you have a best model that you have seen so far, and they release that. And when they see a better one, they release that too. But sometimes they reconfigure the network and they think that with that configuration, they will find a better model. And then they train it. And when it has an acceptable quality and accuracy, they release that too. And I saw this I saw this when I owned one, because I would read the release notes pretty closely because, you know, I'm interested in technology and that's why I bought the car. And in their technologies would say that this is a new model, or this is not an improvement, this is a new model. And when we had new models, I would notice that it's generally better, but now it's making different mistakes. It's they didn't, it's, you know, it's making less mistakes, but completely different mistakes. Or like you could see, if you can think about the personality of a driver that like is gentle, or a driver that like aggressive and jerks a lot, the model would change and that personality would change also. So it's then to answer to your question, because of the nature of the work, sometimes they are not the best, but most of the time they are. And right now, because of a specific technology decision that Elon Musk has made, they are not the best. Right now, Mercedes system is kind of better, because Mercedes system still uses radar and a lot of cameras. Tesla made a decision famously in 2021 to not use radar. Elon Musk insists that cameras are enough. That's why we should only use them. But I think it's a cost thing, because radar is expensive. It has weight and it takes space. And also it was a time when supply issues were becoming a problem. And I can see he makes this kind of decisions all the time. I can see him sitting down and studying the theoretical aspects of neural networks, which he does. He closely studies the technologies that he manages. I can see him sitting down and with advisors coming to this conclusion that, is it theoretically possible to get all the information from the cameras and without a radar? They say, yes, it's theoretically possible. And then he says, well, then we are going to use only cameras. And when they use only cameras, then they need brand new models. They can't use old models because they have to reconfigure it to only take camera input. And also they have to retrain them. And then the training becomes harder because you have less channels and less variables to work with. You want to find the same patterns from less observations. So that's when their quality has gone under other automakers and hasn't kept up yet. But there's just one or two that are capable of this kind of technology. And they're still pretty close. And the biggest issue they have, and they have had a government investigation several times, and they have paid some fines, is the braking issue. And we experienced this. We absolutely hated it. On highway speeds, it slams on the brakes because it doesn't have a radar to estimate the distance reliably. It relies on camera to estimate the distance. And sometimes it makes mistakes. It never used to make that kind of mistake before, because radar is very, very accurate in estimating distance. But camera is like, they have to examine two consecutive frames and see how the size changes and estimate distance. It's pretty difficult. So it's working very impressively, as Biagio said, but it is difficult. So that's why they have more errors in camera-only systems. And they are never. There was a conversation about, will they put radar back on? And I think that went away. They are going to stay with the camera. And the funny thing is, because they stopped maintaining the camera and radar model, my car that had hardware, the physical radar in my car, they turned it off remotely and they gave me a camera-only model. And then it became noticeably worse in one aspect, which is estimating distance in the front, which what radar was doing. But that's a specific technology decision that he makes all kinds of that kind of decision all the time. Yeah. So that's a risk he's taking. That's what he lives for. He wants to say, if I can make camera-only system work as good as radar system, I am saving $800 to $1,500 a car. And that's a big margin.
But I mean, by the way, I think I honestly underestimated this aspect, but you were right. The shortage of, you know, like you're talking about this decision being made when there was a lot of shortage of chips. So I think that might have been like a decision that he didn't want to make, but he was forced to make. I mean, cost-effective strategies are not, you know, surprising with Tesla. Like if you look at even the materials that they use, the aspect is super minimalistic. You know, it's on purpose, right? They try to save money as much as they can in anything other than probably the technology. So that could be that, like, to stay up to the demand, they had to make the call. Otherwise, they were not able to, you know, deliver the cars to people. So it might have been one of those. And again, I'm not defending him. I also have a strong opinion on him, especially after buying Twitter. I had completely different opinion before. But anyway, it's not about him today. And so I think that might be kind of like might have been something that he had to do in order to keep the ship going. I mean, I'm not sure, but I never thought about how those dates were so close, and it can be a possible reason behind that decision.
I think it is a factor in that decision. And also there was another automaker. There's only one that switched, and that was Subaru. Subaru only switched to camera-only systems, but Subaru doesn't have any tech beyond adaptive cruise control and emergency braking. And that's a package they buy. So that also makes it more likely that they did it because of business reasons. But the analogy I used about training neural networks is that you walk in a dark room and you are just reaching with your hand, see what you can find, right? That's the uncertainty we are facing here about will this become one day good enough? Because right now, it's not good enough to be on its own. We have to have a supervised drive. We have to have a driver behind the wheel, because it does, even 1% mistake is a lot. Like sometimes, and the mistakes are deadly. I don't say, they're not necessarily mild mistakes. They can be really terrible mistakes. For example, a driver can make a mistake, a human driver, and not stay in the lane for like even 20 seconds. What the mistakes that Tesla is making is kind of trying to run over cyclists and things like that. So these are not, they're all mistakes, but they're all, not all mistakes are equal. So it is more dangerous. 1% error rate for a person is not the same as 1% error rate for a machine, because machine doesn't discriminate between how terrible mistakes are, but humans are likely to make less terrible mistakes. And that's for like a sober, attentive driver.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you pay attention and you're
focused, I'm talking about that.
I agree.
I'm not talking about people selfishly violate the law. Like
which are many, right? If you go on the interstate, there are so many people distracted by texting and driving. And so I'm not saying like I don't test their alcohol level, but also but experience level, right? Experience level as a factor in that too, right? Somebody has just got a driver license compared to an experienced driver, right? They will have probably increased, like if you are novice, you're probably going to make more mistakes. Maybe you're trying to speed a light or you're trying to pass in a dangerous situation, right? So again, I think we just need to be fair. I agree with you, you expect more from the machine, but what is the alternative? And again, if you look at the data of fatalities or injuries and stuff like that, cars are...
Well, no, I am a big proponent of self-driving technology. We have to get that technology that will save a lot of lives and, I mean, convenience. I am all for it. I really want it to happen. But remember, since 2016, he said, we know how to get it. We are just going to sit down and do it. And he was right. He was saying that is 2 years away for 8 years. He was right that it could have happened, but it's about luck now. The parameters, the search space is so vast that the likelihood of him finding the good enough model, one of the good enough models, is unknown. It could be 10%. It could be 1/1,000,000% the chance of finding, because we don't know how vast the search space is. We don't know how many good enough models there exist in this search space. And if you can think of, again, another analogy for training neural networks is there is a group of good enough models, but there is a possible number of, there is a vast number of possible models. And training technologies try to navigate that search space to find a good enough model. And training technologies have improved so much since then, but they have only been doing the same thing since 2016. They just keep training and training and hoping to hit the bullseye at one of the tries, until last year, after ChatGPT, they switched to generative models because they saw that there was a serious progress there. There was a breakthrough over there in training technologies. So they want to take advantage of that. So there's another model refresh. I read the release notes for last year switching to the generative models too. And it was pretty interesting. And before that, I was thinking this is not going to happen. If it was going to happen, doing the same thing for 8 years, how many years from 2016? That would be 7 years. Doing the same thing for 7 years, if it hasn't happened there, why would it happen? Why would they find a model? But now they have switched course. Now I'm hopeful again. Hopefully we'll see where this one goes, because they will use the training technologies that large language models have utilized.
And by the way, I mean, Russ, I don't know if you have a question, but they are capable of doing. I mean, I've seen a video of people sleeping and then going from one place to another place. I mean, it's about how
they're
much
playing you trust with death. Yeah, but it is
how much you trust.
There is a 70% chance they will make it alive, and they do make it alive sometimes.
So he made it possible. What you're saying is probably not there yet to say, hey, you can relax and really sleep.
Yeah,
you should pay attention. But I honestly pay attention with it, even when I drive with my adapting cruise control, right?
Yes.
And I sometimes even that one like breaks for no reason, or so far away from the other car. I mean, honestly, it's less impressive than what Tesla did. But anyway, I know we have to do the podium of the impressive thing, so I don't want to hijack with just starting with the goals. Russ.
No. I think this is all good. And really, the way this conversation has led it, I end up wondering what you both think the future of it is going to be. So we know kind of where it came from and some of those groundbreaking advancements that literally revolutionized the space, specifically within safety. And then we kind of know where it is right now, kind of this middle plateau waiting for these things to kind of jump up and take its next step. But what does that next step look like? And will that next step be taken by Tesla? Without knowing too much about the space, I'm not as confident as I used to be that Tesla is going to be the groundbreaking company that it used to be. I think it's going to continue to have more and more competition, and it might actually fade away or have to adopt other companies, you know, breakthroughs. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't think Tesla will go away. I think they will still be pioneers, but their competition is not car makers. Their competition is tech startups. If their competition was car makers, they would lose because their cars aren't that great. But now I have another electric car from Volkswagen. It's a great car. It's a better car than Tesla I had, because my Tesla, the reason I bought it was its technology. The reason I got rid of it was it's the car part of it, because it had paint issues. You can't have paint issues in Midwest. The car will crumble away. But this car is just a car. It's not a computer by any means. And the car is fine. So they would lose competition if they were a car company. But they are a tech company. And I think that vision is right. I don't know if they will win that competition. If they don't win, the car business has been successful enough that can carry them. So I think they are here to stay. And it's amazing that they are the only car company that were able to become a major mainstream car company, I think after the 50s, the first new company since then, car company since then. And about the future of the self-driving technology, this is my expert opinion. I am not sure if current training technologies are enough for us to get this complicated model, because this has proven to be a much more complicated problem than we initially imagined. Initially, people viewed this as a optimization problem, because at every given moment, we have an input. So we have what the situation is, and then we have a finite set of decisions that the driver can make, which is how much to steer or not, how much to accelerate or decelerate or not, and things like that, change lanes. So these are very finite set of decisions, and it seemed easy, but it seems like it isn't that easy. And I think if there is, I think it's more likely that we will need a breakthrough in machine learning technologies to be able to get this model. And we will, I think, at some point, even maybe initially, maybe down the road after technology is deployed, successfully found and deployed, government will definitely ask for error studies, in a study of the inaccuracies. So government will ask what kind of errors will this model make, because that is very important if it ever makes errors. So with deep learning, with current technologies, that's not possible. We can't study what kind of errors a deep learning model will make until it makes it. So I think we will need technologies initially that are capable of finding the good model. And after that, we will need new technologies that are more transparent and less black box models than deep learning technologies. I'm waiting for those. So we'll see.
So I don't have a certain answer. I think it also depends on what we're talking about. Are we talking about like cars driving on their own and basically bringing us like the
I was talking about
autonomous
the type of
taxi,
model. Yeah, the type of model that government would allow would be safe enough the government would allow to just drive on its own around.
On that side of things, I kind of in agreement with. I mean, I don't see it to happen anytime soon. I thought it was happening faster, and it probably in the next 5 years. But I agree with him. It's like, because it only needs one bad case, and then everybody would start saying, "Hey, oh, Tesla did that, right?" And that's one bad case that people will say, "Oh, it's unacceptable," right? And I can agree, it is. But I also, again, I always compare what is the other side. But I'm not a lawmaker. I'm not making those decisions. So I agree with Amin on that side of things. I think one area that though will benefit a lot, and I think even Tesla is going in that market, but I don't want to say something wrong, is trucks, right? Because they do have a very tight schedules. They have to drive hours and hours and hours, very small breaks sometimes just to meet the demands and the schedule. And having something that can assist them. So, I mean, if I was somebody investing in this space, I will invest in that. And I don't know how many accidents are, I don't have the data in front of me, but I am pretty sure that compared to me, they have a small commute every day. They stay on the road a lot, and increasing the safety of them and all the people that drive around them will be definitely something I will invest more in the short run than, automating autonomous taxis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I know we're running out of time. I want to say one more thing that to me is probably the silver of what Tesla did. And again, at the time that they started it, and we are not talking about electric cars and the benefit of electric cars in this episode, but the building an infrastructure that would make people kind of like feel safe to buy an electric car, and with the range limitation that electric cars have, building that infrastructure pretty much from scratch, to me, was one of them. And again, when I was always thinking, oh, I want to buy an electric car in the near future, I always look at Tesla because of the infrastructure they built, because of how fast the charging
Yes.
was working. And to be honest, that was impressive as well. Again, to give credit where it's due, they were the first to do it, the first to do it at their scale, the first to make people believe, hey, I can afford an electric car, not price-wise, but afford it because I don't have to be anxious about getting in and not being able to reach destination. In fact, they also organize you the trip. They tell you where to stop. They, you know, I mean, can talk more about it, but to me, that was very impressive. Probably number two after being a computer on wheels, for sure.
No, that's a major reason people buy Tesla, and that was a major factor when we bought Tesla. And I can tell you, after switching away from Tesla, that's one of the things I absolutely miss. Because we pull up into these general chargers, all of them have different app. App doesn't work, works, will it work, will it not work, how fast will it be? You didn't have those guesswork, that guesswork with Tesla. You would just pull up and plug in, and within seconds it would start charging very fast. I think that was one of the most important decisions they made. And it might be one of the decisions that saves us from climate change, because they did two things. They said it's possible to go everywhere with an electric car, and electric cars are fast and fun. Those two things Tesla established in society, and I think those are going to be incredibly valuable in the future.
Well, that is a future that I am looking forward to seeing, and hopefully will continue to grow and will get faster and cooler and better and safer and more eco-friendly, all of those good things. So, gentlemen, as always, thank you so much for being here today. This is always a good time.
Thank you, it was fun.
Thank you, it was fun. We'll do it again.
And thank you for listening to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by Northern Illinois University, where your future is our focus. And please remember to love always the promise of tomorrow today.